coming to you, not exactly live from...
The Cliffs of Insanity!
Where life is an adventure. And if adventure has a podcast, it must be Indiana Jim.
Don't tell me you've never heard of me.
Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
And now, the Swiss Army Knife of podcasting, that international man of mystery, that intrepid arch-geekologist, Indiana Jim.
You have chosen wisely.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is I, Indiana Jim, your intrepid arch-geekologist. And, well, this is going to be an interesting episode, because some things are changing around here. And if you have been watching the YouTube videos, then you probably have a good idea of what those changes look like. So, basically, here's what's going on. And I thought I had the perfect way to intro this podcast, and I completely forgot about it as I was toying with intros and trying some new things and seeing what fit. And that intro is a little bit different from the one I'd been using, but still not right. Shorter, sure. But I don't know if it gets across the vibe that I'm looking for, because my vibe, I think, is changing. So, the original intro was self-deprecating, in a way. And I've always used self-deprecating humor as a defense mechanism for my own self-confidence issues, my own value issues, my own worth issues. And if you've been watching, I keep going like that. I need to stop doing that. If you've been watching the YouTube videos, which are youtube.com/user/IndianaJim, very easy to find. If you've been watching those, you know that I've been talking about the self-image and how I've learned to heal my self-image. And how you can too. So, I've really experienced a sea change. I went back and I listened to some old podcasts, some older episodes, the ones that I've recently put out on this feed, which by recently I mean October of 2019 was the most recent one that I've put out. And that was How to Know You're Not a Star Wars Fan. But before that, September before that, was the episode I recorded after I returned from Cliff Ravenscraft's Free the Dream show. Conference. So, I don't remember if I even mentioned this on How to Know You're Not a Star Wars Fan, but I had my gallbladder removed after that. I was suffering some severe gallbladder attacks, and it turned out that my gallbladder was full of gunk and stones, was actually the official reading from the, what are they called? The ultrasound. Can't even remember. And so they done took it out. So I don't have a gallbladder anymore, which is great for me because it doesn't hurt anymore either. But I was suffering from a gallbladder attack during the conference, so I wasn't able to get as much out of the conference as I had hoped. It was still extremely valuable, and what it did was put my wife and I on an equal footing, and I think I mentioned this somewhere. I did mention that in the episode that I recorded immediately after. So, anyway, gallbladder's removed. And the two episodes that I remember listening to that were very important was How My Life Changed Forever last month, which I recorded in July, which is the episode where I described how I had gotten past or dealt with the I'm not good enough problem that I had, which governed a lot of decisions I made. And then, of course, the experience meeting some great people at Cliff's event, and Cliff, of course, meeting him in person for the second time, actually. But something even more momentous happened, and I explained it in the YouTube videos, and you can you can go watch the one that says how I ditched my bad self-image. Yeah, it's like 7 minutes long or something. And basically, what I determined, and Cliff helped me see this recently, is that I still had a self-image problem. And I wasn't quite sure how it had affected me. And now, what happened basically was, I'll explain it here real quick in case you don't watch the video, so that's fine. What happened was that I was wanting to take Ray Edwards Copywriting Academy, and he was offering a great prize on it, $1,000. And at the end of which you basically are, I think this is the one where you become a certified Ray Edwards copywriter, I believe. Not sure, but anyway, would have been a great skill to have because I was looking at getting into writing copy. It's a great skill. It's a great marketable skill and people pay well for it. Something else I've noticed is that when I talk for a while, I start to get this cough, this persistent cough that just won't go away because my throat is just scratchy. Where was I? Yeah, so I had posted in the Free the Dream Facebook group, which is a private group for attendees of the conference, that I was trying to think of ways to generate $1,000 quickly to take the course. And Cliff is in there and he says, well, why don't you invite 10 people to pay $100 where you do a group coaching class on kind of the key insights that you're learning during the course. And so you essentially would share about 10% of the value that you're getting by paying the $1,000, which is still a bargain. And I said, well, can I do that if I haven't already established myself as a coach? And in his Socratic way, he says, I don't know, can you? And I was like, okay, well, let me clarify that I don't see myself as a coach. I don't really see myself as much of a success in anything. So why would anyone want to learn anything from me? And he said, why don't you read this book, Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz? Because you don't have a marketable skill issue, you have a self-image issue. And suddenly a lot of things got a lot clearer for me. I began to see ways not only that I wasn't good enough affected decisions I made throughout my life, but how I was constantly looking for that thing, that skill that would make me marketable to make enough money, like to, you know, pay off our debts and start and really transform my life and transform my income. And I've always been in this mediocre middle class income level, never able to move beyond because I never graduated with a degree. Even if I did, it would have been a music degree. So I've had a lot of these issues that I've had to deal with in my life where I have all these regrets and you know, it's a whole lot to get into, and I've been getting into a lot more of it in the YouTube channel. But suffice to say, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes and bad choices and have had many limiting beliefs about myself. And the one I'm dealing with now is whether or not I am a high achiever. And I just finished going through and studying the book, The Prosperous Coach by Rich Litvin. And it's finally helped me see exactly what I want to do. And I never knew exactly what I wanted to do. I always vacillated between so many different things and so many different ideas. Now, I still have a love for stories. I still have stories in my head that need to come out. I have stories in the works that need to be finished. I have books to write and that sort of thing. But that was never going to be the thing that made the income go up. Because I'm just not that prolific, and I don't plan on being prolific. You know, I look at guys like 50 books to, or 20 books to 50K. And the way you have to hit that algorithm in the Kindle store, it's not sustainable for my ability, or even for where I want my ability to be. I don't want to be the person that, I just don't have the drive to write that many books that fast. And it's taken me a while to get okay with that, to be okay with that. And when you're starting out, you know, you take so much feedback from so many different sources, and you're learning so much about writing and from so many different people with so many different approaches, and it gets overwhelming, and you can't help but judge yourself upside down one way or the other for not being like that writer or not being like that author or publisher. And you really have to forge your own path. So what made me decide to try coaching? Well, not just try coaching. It's a realization that I've always wanted to teach back things that I learn, things that excite me, things that interest me. And so much of what I've been interested in lately has been in the self-improvement, personal development space, and studying things from Tony Robbins and The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, which I talked about recently in a recent episode, but it wasn't recent, if you know what I mean, last year. Talked about, whoop, there's my mic. Talked about 6 big lessons on limiting beliefs from The Big Leap back in July of 2019, so almost a year ago. And, oh, a year ago and 8 days. So, also, this book, Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz, which is an older book. It was published in the 60s. It's all about self-image. And, you know, I guess I started seeing myself in that book, started seeing all of these angles of my own problems written out on the page, on the electronic page, on the Kindle version. And so that's what prompted me to start making the YouTube content, which, and I don't want to repeat all of the YouTube content, because I feel like the YouTube content is what it is, and it has the value that it has. And I don't necessarily want to re-record or re-talk about all of those things on the podcast. But my self-image started really taking off. I started really seeing myself in a more improved light. And what I realized is that I've had so many obstacles of many of my own making, but some of them circumstantial. Some of them things I had to get over, and I had to forgive people for, and I had to get past. And of course, mistakes that I've made and regrets that I've had to just get over, and realizations I've had to come to. One of those realizations is about being a high achiever. I've never been a high achiever. I've never been really, really driven to do anything until I read this book and until I started making this YouTube content. Now I'm driven to make the YouTube content. And now I'm considering a different mode of podcasting. And I'm honestly not even sure I'm going to keep the moniker Indiana Jim. Now, I've made a new cover art that kind of lends itself more to my content focus. I'm debating whether or not to start a new podcast or just give it a different title. But it would probably be a brand new podcast. You know, I don't know. I feel like I've been so inconsistent and my content has lacked focus that my audience doesn't even know what I am or what I'm doing. Now, I've watched Cliff go from, of course, the podcast Answer Man to the Cliff Ravenscraft show. And right now he has a third of the audience that it had grown to at the height of his popularity as the podcast Answer Man, because he switched, he made a switch. My audience has never been as big as the podcast Answer Man. I was never as consistent, as focused on, you know, podcasting itself. It's just been all over the place, just talking about the things that interest me. And I feel like the people that are regular listeners to my podcast will get it. You guys will understand it. And so maybe it's just, I just change my focus and we just go forward as is, which is honestly kind of what I was planning on doing. Cause I don't fancy changing it to the Jim Perry Show, you know? And that was probably a fairly close J.R. Murdoch impersonation there, but anyway. So this is where I'm at right now, is just kind of deciding what to do as far as content focus, you know, what I want to speak on. I just finished The Prosperous Coach. And so I thought of what I was thinking about doing was starting a separate podcast just particularly about coaching, even though I'm no expert on coaching, but kind of chronicling the coaching journey, I guess. Not really how to, but kind of a, you know, an audio blog, what do they call it? Audio journal for the journey. Journey, same root word, right? So that's what I'm thinking. But I mean, this has just basically been an audio journal anyway. And I've talked about, you know, geeky, nerdy stuff, writing, Star Wars, video games. You know, I've kind of talked about it all, everything on the geek spectrum. And now my focus is changing. My life is changing. And that doesn't mean I'm not interested in those things. But like for instance, okay, I've really gotten into watching The Expanse, but I've gone through periods where I didn't watch it just because I just didn't feel like watching TV. You know, I just didn't feel like binging something or watching serially because I just have other interests. I've been studying so much of these books and, of course, playing video games and working, you know. Yeah, anyway, that's really it. I've gone 18 minutes and I think I've said what I needed to say. I don't necessarily think I need to go any longer, but let me just real quick touch on this idea of high achieving because I keep mentioning it. So as I finished this book, The Prosperous Coach, and this is the book that really convinced me, okay, yeah, you know what? I do want to do this. I want to help people. I want to help coach people who want to achieve something, who make an impact in the world. I love, I've just discovered a love for listening to people and listening to their struggles and trying to encourage people, speak encouragement into people's lives. So, but I've still had to deal with this issue because I've been fired from jobs. I've only had, you know, these clerical office jobs, or I was an optician where I just felt like, I didn't want to sell anymore. And I've struggled so much with finding my place that I never really felt like I accomplished much of anything. However, you know, I've written more books than a lot of people dream of writing. You know, a lot of people dream of just writing one, and I've written a few. So that right there is an accomplishment. I successfully pivoted from being a music major to moving across the country and got married and started my working life. I have 2 really good kids and 1 that's working on it. And my relationship with my wife has gotten better despite so many struggles along the journey. And, you know, we're coming up on 22 years at the end of this year, and that's an accomplishment. You know, the fact that I'm not dead is an accomplishment. The fact that I endured so much social trauma from age 7 to 15 in Northern California, in the little town I lived before I moved to Arizona, that, you know, that when I moved to Arizona to live with my grandparents, that I made a conscious pivot from, I'm not gonna, you know, from the socially anxious, isolated, outcast, made fun of, bullied, pushed around little kid to, I'm not going to let anybody walk on me anymore. I'm going to stand up straight and I'm going to walk tall and I'm not going to let anyone intimidate me. I made that shift at 15. There's a lot of people that can't make that shift in adulthood. And that's an accomplishment. What I've overcome is an accomplishment. I don't have the worldly badges of success like, oh, I made, you know, I make six figures and I'm a high ranking person at this company, or, you know, I built this, or, you know, whatever. I have my share of accomplishments, and uncovering the problems in my self-image has been a journey of realizing what value I do have, and what ways I can support people, and the ways I can coach people, and the things that I have learned about how to overcome challenges. And at the end of the book, Rich Litvin talks about the organization he formed called 4PC, which is like for really high-end coaches specifically. And he was talking about, well, let me grab my notebook. The nine things that hold high achievers back. One of the principles that I learned was this quote, "What got you here won't get you there. The skills and abilities that you learn to overcome this, or to get past this, or to reach this stage won't help you reach the next stage." And an example would be an intervention I watched with Tony Robbins with a guy who lost a child and descended into drug addiction and had to become a certain person, very rule-oriented, very strict with his life to get out of drug addiction. Yet he continued this holding pattern of being very strict with himself, following the rules, not giving himself permission to enjoy life. And so Tony Robbins helped him break free of that, basically from the standpoint of, you don't need to be that person anymore because you've already overcome that. So how do we augment that? How do we take the lessons that you've learned so you don't fall back into it, but that you give yourself permission to live your life? And he had to get over the kind of, not get over the grief over his daughter, but he had to believe that his daughter wanted him to live his life and not be just held back by this grief constantly. And that was kind of the idea. He had to become a different person to go to the next level of his life, the next stage of his life. So the person I had to become to overcome those challenges has to shift. One of the things was, and I made this, did I talk about this in a video? I think I might have mentioned this in a video, where my family is full of men who have relationship issues, like divorce and infidelity have been hanging over my family. And so I decided early on that I wanted to get married and have a family and not repeat the same mistakes as my dad and my uncles did. However, that was a negative motivation. It was a motivation with a negative impetus. Don't turn out like this. Don't be like this. Yet that's how we create self-fulfilling prophecies, is by focusing on the negative. We tune our subconscious to focus on it. It's like a race car driver. I talked about this in my most recent video. It's like a race car driver. You learn not to look at the wall when you're going around the curve, but to look where you're going. Because if you look at the wall, you're more likely to actually hit the wall. If you look at where you're going, you're more likely to make the adjustments naturally to take the curve appropriately and go the way you want to go. So similar with my goals. I wanted so badly not to be like that, that I ended up darn near being exactly like that. And thanks be to God that I didn't, and the grace of my wife as well. And we've just gotten through stuff. So this idea of being a high achiever, it's like, okay, how do I get back to that? Because when I was a kid, let's see, from very young age, you know, I learned to tie my shoes very early. I learned to read very early. When I was four, I read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas to my entire daycare class, you know, or three or four. I don't even remember how old. I guess I was four. And so from a very young age, I was an extremely gifted reader, and I've always been a very good speller, and I've always been able to get really good grades when I applied myself. And something happened along the way to make me either feel like it wasn't important, because getting good grades came so easy that I didn't put in the work. And of course, the academic requirements in Arizona, in the public school I went to, were not very stringent at all. But still, you know, I got very good grades very easily. I hardly needed to study. Had a very good academic aptitude. I'm a very good writer. I'm a good public speaker. And so one of these things, the Rich Litvin in the book, The Prosperous Coach, laid out 9 qualities of high achievers that hold you back the most. So I never really considered myself a high achiever because of, you know, I base so much of that on my income level, you know, inability to manage money, you know, this kind of thing. But I decided as I was finishing this book, this was the last part of the book, that I was going to pretend I was a high achiever. I was going to act as though I am a high achiever. And I was listening to this, and so here's the 9 qualities of high achievers that hold you back the most. So number 1, you're a powerful visionary. You dream so big you can get overwhelmed. The paradox of choice can make it hard to begin each new project. And I've had so many projects and so many things that I wanted to do that I dream about and I extrapolate to the nth degree. And I have this. I have so many projects, so many big dreams that they are overwhelming. Number 2, you experience exponential success. It feels like you've never had to work that hard for everything you've accomplished. Now, everything I've accomplished, I've already laid out to you, most of that in the mental game. And I, like I said, I don't have the badges of accomplishment like you would point to, like income or status or possessions or wealth. But the accomplishments I do have, I've never really had to work hard for. Number 3, deep competing commitments. You are driven by deep values. And I have a lot of different commitments. I've often been overwhelmed by too many irons in the fire, too many things I'm committed to doing, right? You get comfortable in the gray zone, a pace set by a runner that is too fast for recovery and too slow for growth. It can be a temptation to continue to underperform even if you are still accomplishing more than the average person. I don't know if I'm accomplishing more than the average person. I don't feel like I am, but you know, I don't know that one necessarily pertains to me. Number 5, extremely talented problem solver. Now, when I first heard that, I was like, man, I don't know if I'm a talented problem solver. But then he described it. You tend to avoid things until they reach problem level status. You struggle to focus on longer term goals. That is me to a T. Number 6, you seek perfection. Success breeds the need or pressure to repeat success. And I tend to be very perfectionist, especially when it comes to my writing. That's why cranking out the first drafts is hard for me. So I need to work on that. You are future focused. You take action immediately, but forget to slow down enough to see the deja vu challenges. So whenever I find something to do, I jump into it and I'm like, oh, let's go, you know. So number 8, you don't quote unquote need help. Sometimes I feel like that. Not very often. Number 9, you miss out on the truth. The higher you rise, the harder it can be to open up to the people around you, and the harder it is for the people around you to speak their truth, because it's almost like a really high achiever would be like a celebrity and people are afraid to tell them what's up, you know, to criticize them or give them constructive criticism. And so I feel like looking at this that I have some of the qualities of a high achiever, but I've never shown up as a high achiever in the world. So another helpful thing that Rich Litvin said was that a goal is not a place to get to, it's a place to start from. You've heard the phrase, dress for the job you want, or work like this person you want to be. Be like this person you want to be. The idea is that if you have a goal, let's say you want to be, well, in my case, let's say you want to be a coach that makes $1 million a year. Well, show up in the world like a coach who makes $1 million a year. You know, if you want to be a star athlete, show up like a person who is a star athlete. What would a star athlete do? What does that look like? What do their habits look like? Whatever you want to be, whatever you want to achieve, wherever you want to get to, show up as that person. Let's take Cliff Ravenscraft, for example. He always saw himself, his self-image was, I'm a fat guy. Then when he changed that focus to, I'm not a fat guy, I'm a fit, healthy guy trapped in a fat guy's body. And that helped his subconscious shift so that he could get to that goal. He began to show up in the world as that person. You know, he decided, I am a person who works out 6 days a week, every week for the rest of my life. And he started doing it. So the question is, who are you showing up as? And that's the challenge for me, is to show up as that person that I want to be. And that's what I'm going to start doing, is I'm going to decide, who am I going to be? And I have to show up as that person. That means I have to show up on YouTube videos as that person, and I've started to do that. That means I have to show up in my writing as that kind of person. That means I have to show up on this podcast like that kind of person. And that's why, bringing it back full circle, it's why this podcast is going to change. Now, my content focus has been on the self-improvement and the psychology and all that stuff. So it may not be as much, it won't be as drastic a shift, but I think it'll help me make the right focus. Now, I still may do the podcast on coaching, just depends. I need to look at that, and I need to do some planning and thinking it through. But in the meantime, I'm here, and I'm going to try to get back to you next week and let you know how everything's going. So no outro, just you know, follow me on Twitter at Indiana Jim. You can follow me there. I'll follow you back. You can direct message me there. You can follow me on Instagram, Indiana_Jim, and message me there as well. You can find me on Facebook.com/IndianaJim, YouTube.com/user/IndianaJim. It's all there. I'll put the links in the show notes, and get in touch and tell me what you think of this content as well. If you go to adventuresofindianajim.net, click on the blog post for this episode and leave your comment there, and we can have that discussion. Oh, you know what else? If you have Voxer, I am on Voxer, and I'm probably going to, I'm going to let the Google number go, because nobody uses it, and I don't need it. So if you have Voxer, Voxer is a free app. It's jperry6529. You can use your mobile phone. You can, it's like a walkie-talkie. You just click the walkie-talkie icon and record me a message. jperry6529 on Voxer. That is V-O-X-E-R. And, well, there you have it. Those are the ways to get in touch with me. And I will bid you adieu. Until next time, this is Indiana Jim saying, here's to a life well lived. Goodbye.